And now I would like to welcome back the good sport of the night, Michelle Boulay, who's going to read a poem. Please welcome Michelle Boulay.
Can you pull it down a little bit, please? Thank you. This is nothing new. This was originally inspired by the great earthquake that created the huge tsunami, but at this point, you know, it seems like we've had quite a few more of situations like that. It's called Blue Melodies of Dog Fur. One, her high blue music. Somehow, it's different in the winter. Lustrous blue, clear but higher, the cold. The wind's voice is the giveaway. Even in the quiet, thin light of earlier morning, the whispers of potent drumming carry through the higher blue of the crystallized sky, echoing the oddly harmonic gusts from the infinitely snowed tundra, realm of the musical ice bears. She transmits a balmy variation of this same blue over her warm and luscious midriff, slightly opaque, an indolent harmony. She girdles her ample waist with exotic beaches, festoons her sandy flesh with palm trees sighing promises of a paradise unfettered by the realities of living on a cooling star, alive with molten lava blood and fertile green carpeted crusts. Dancing here is time to the chanting of the gods. Two, no harm intended. The translucent wall of water begins simply. It rises up quietly, almost incidentally, from the tremor of her slight movement, a mere quiver of tectonic muscle. The wave perfectly reflects the peaceful azure blue, carries the usual equatorial expectations of torpid pleasures in its ever-heightening maw. Her humbler creatures hear the distant groaning of the growing water and feel the shift of granite limbs. They decode the rhythm of her warning through their collective animal intellect. They flee to higher ground to wait in their burrows and caves, while the shimmering blue water continues its surface song of languidness, the last movement of its violent fugue obscured beneath the gentle humming of her sultry winds. The surprise of the waves landing on shore is a disastrous shock to those who experience her as solid and unmoving, who no longer put their ears to the ground to listen for her heartbeat or push their noses skyward to sniff the danger of the humid breeze within her song. Vulnerable, their senses tightly shrink-wrapped, they succumb to one of the inevitable risks of squatting on her living back, traveling hundreds of miles per hour, wildly rotating through the dark fields of all those other stars. Three, on their mission. A quiet autumn pond reflects the diluted blue of today's sky. The dog swims serenely through the tranquil water, flexing his muscles, twitching his skin, ducking down lower to paddle. He creates a great drowning disaster for the fleas inhabiting his back, dissolving whole generations of their tiny civilization, concluding their era in just one moment of time. The dog hears a faint cry, senses a subtle murmur of distress. But his nose is focused on the scent of freshly killed waterfowl. He is intent upon his hunt to retrieve his master's prize of death, as he has been trained to do. The dog's two-legged master doesn't hear a thing. He skirts the edge of the pond, following closely near the dog. His head is busy with the noise of his boots, squelching through the muck and reeds, and with the resonance of his own with the resonance of his own voice, singing his own windy hunting songs, obliterating any other music, riding high in the blue of her sky. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you very much.